This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2261. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all, shortwave. On this edition, recorded September 19th, Australia, Brazil, Chile, Denmark, East Turkestan, Germany, Indonesia, Israel, Japan, Korea, North and South, Mexico, Mongolia, New Zealand, North America, Oklahoma, Puerto Rico, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Spain, Thailand, Turkey, Ukraine, UK, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, following up last week's report about low-power private Australian shortwave stations, Ron Howard in California upon Asilo Mar State Beach says he's heard on 4835 Shortwave Australia. A long time since he's had positive audio and no ID heard now, but definitely easy listening songs and brief announcements. Slow tempo songs and soft music. He reminds us that he heard from Dave Stewart, his shortwave station, back in July of 2022. At that time, he quoted the automatic announcement, "This is Shortwave Australia, broadcasting to the inland and the islands on 4835 kilocycles daytime and evening, as well as on 2310 kilocycles nighttime," or words to that effect. Also, Dave has produced an interesting video of his station on YouTube. I suppose you might find it by searching on Shortwave Australia and maybe 4835. Ron says the other low-powered Australian on 4970 at this time was totally blocked with strong over-the-horizon radar. And about low-power or pirate Brazilians, on shortwave, Dan Robinson reports, Rádio Ameixinha was on the air 12 September with music and IDs. I heard it via the Pardinho remote near São Paulo, but also audible very weak in Maryland SDRs. In an email, the operator discussed his transmission, which was to celebrate 1 year being on the air, and he also mentioned another Brazilian pirate apparently on the air. He says a new free program appeared here in Brazil on 12003.67. I don't know when it goes on and off, but it's arriving here well. And, what I've been told, it's still in the testing phase. The name seems to be Onda Sul, S-U-L, but I'm not sure. As for Rádio Ameixinha itself, it's also reported by Rudolf Grimm in southeastern Brazil on 7550, at least tentatively, on September 10th at 11:50 with songs. And Rudolf Grimm reports yet another frequency for a Brazilian pirate, 7676.67 kHz, September 9th at 14:38. A musical sequence of oldies, Frank Sinatra, Brenda Lee, Dean Martin, Nat King Cole. The station ID in English, assuming it is a Brazilian pirate, not very creative, recording audios via the Internet, RadioNet, or similar, playing its contents through its resources. The ID sounded like Sable Beach or Southern Beach. And Lucio Otavio Bobovic in Brazil reports a carrier with no modulation on 5035, September 11th into 12th, before and after midnight UT. That could be from the non-pirate station in Brazil, Rádio Coari. Further checks needed. Via Hardcore DX, Rudolf Grimm in São Paulo State reports the Chilean station, RCW or Radio Compañía Worldwide, on 7535. It was on September 18th at 0140 with a football or soccer match, mentioning the Colo Colo Club in Chile. Live audio, checked and verified on their website. And it's not clear whether this is a pirate. Lucio Otavio Brobovic in Brazil also reports RCW on 7535, September 11th at midnight 3 with an ID as Radio Companhia Worldwide and parallel to much weaker 6925. Also on 7535, September 12th at 2305 in Spanish. From El Radio Escucha via AER in Spain, Denmark, Radio Osviola, a little station on AM, low-powered, from Illerød, Denmark, is on shortwave 6055 weekends between 11 and 13, and Wednesdays in the evenings on 5980 from 21 to 22. Presumably those are universal times. And they offer an EQSL, especially if people send a recording. Their website is OZVIOLA.DK, and they're also on Facebook. We hear many, many signals from the two major Chaicom relay sites in East Turkestan, also known as Xinjiang in Western China. I won't go into details, but I've just pointed out by checking the globe, the site in Urumqi in the northern lobe of East Turkestan to Oklahoma passes within a few degrees of the North Pole on the Russian side, while the Kashgar site in the western lobe of ET is only a few degrees on the Greenland side of the North Pole toward Oklahoma. Thus, both of them can be quite subject to heavy flutter during propagation disturbances. Filed under Germany, the transmitter site of Channel 292, carrying Bill Tovard's monthly program, Uncle Bill's Melting Pot. Details about the September 1st program, that's Saturday. He says no guests this month, but very distinctive music of the states of Santa Catarina and Rio Grande do Sul in Brazil. It may surprise even regular followers of Brazilian music. There are three airtimes. Saturday at 17 on 9670 eastwards, at 19 on 3955 and 6070 Omni, and at 23 on 9670 towards South America. Ron Howard in California, his regular monitoring of RRI Nabiri Program 1 Indonesia on 7289.93. On September 8th, tune in at 0758, and it went off about 0831, with easy listening songs and announcers. On September 9th, tune in at 0815 and out at 10.01 UT, playing mostly easy-listening songs, but some Middle Eastern or Islamic-influenced music and singing after 0904. The distinctive Islamic segments were at 0854 to 0900, 9 to 904. There was RRI theme music at 0959 and blocked after 10.01 by China. September 10th from 0825 to an early cutoff suddenly at 0836. September 12th, not heard when checking, after 0811 UT. September 13th, tune in at 0815, till suddenly off at 0935, with easy listening songs but Islamic segments, starting at 0857. And on September 15th, tune in at 0813, till suddenly cut off mid-song at 0824. Ron Howard also listens to the Voice of Indonesia Channel 2 relay via WRMI in English, after 08 UT, such as on September 12th. That's on 7780, but the next day, the 13th, there was pop music instead of VOI. At Israel Radio, do they know they're again on shortwave, or do they even care? At least part of the time, if WRMI stays on 9955 after 04 UT, such as September 16th, it's Israel Radio's hour via WRN. And that's followed at 05 and 0530 by Prague and Slovakia in English. Takahito Akabayashi in Tokyo forwards some detailed information about four experimental shortwave financial data trading stations in Japan, much like some of them are operating in the U.S. This is according to JJ1WTL, amateur Ryota Mitobayashi. U.S.-based companies have set up these four experimental shortwave financial data trading stations. All are in the Boso Peninsula, Chiba Prefecture, about 100 kilometers southeast of Tokyo. They are currently licensed until March of 2027. One is Datacom Services. They have a whole bunch of frequencies. JS2RA to Chicago on 6864, 6900, 9081, 9126, 10845, 10953, 12117, 12159, 14673, 14736, and 16119 kilohertz with 10 kilowatts. And then another station called JS2RB with 5 kilowatts is on some of those same frequencies for the Philippines. The second station is called 4HF, a subsidiary of Raft Technologies. JS2SA to Chicago, London, and Singapore on the same frequencies I just mentioned with 3 kilowatts of power. The third one is High Bar Communications. Again, sharing some of these same frequencies, its call sign is JB2XH for Johor Bahru, London, and Chicago. The fourth one is Nuvo Networks, NUVO, probably for Chicago, but no further information yet on call sign or frequencies. Discussion to last week's report about undecodable DRM from North Korea on 6140. Chris Mackerel in New Zealand says, I suspect incompetence. The engineers have probably been told, transmit NDRM, and don't really care if it can be decoded or not, as long as there's some signal going out, so they can say they're following orders. It could be just a botched setting in the server generating the DRM stream. Another possibility is that it is data only, using encryption. The German Navy, that tested DRM like that a few years ago, but at least an ID was decodable. He says, I still suspect incompetence or human error. Ron Howard in California follows up about the strange transmission of Voice of the People south to North Korea on 6600, rather audio alternating 1 kHz above and below. He says, I had been hearing both 6599 and 6601, but I noticed serious problems on these two frequencies. BOP's audio constantly cutting off and on. So on September 16th, I was not surprised to find that audio gone. They were back on their former 6600 even with steady audio. And at 1255 UT on all these parallels, 3480, 3910, 3930, 4450, 4560, and 6520. While the other station, Echo of Hope VOH, as of September 16th, was on these, 3985, 4885, 5995, 6250, 6350, and 7720, when checked at 1312. About Mexico, Tim Hall in Southern California reports via ABDX on UT September 17th. XEPRS 1090 has been running mostly Monte Maria Spanish Catholic programming since the mightier 1090 crew skipped out on the final year of their lease. But the Monte Maria folks don't have enough programming and or money to fill the whole 24-hour broadcast day. So we're getting all kinds of random stuff filling the 5 to 8 hours a day that Monte Maria did not lease. Right now I'm listening to reruns of Wolfman Jack. Saturday and Sunday morning we still get Let's Talk Hookup, which is about fishing, yawn. Other times you might hear Mexican oldies. The classic Spanish ID gets spliced in randomly every 10 or 15 minutes. I believe I have solved an intriguing Mexican medium wave mystery. Oklahoma City station dominating 800 here, KQCV, was suffering considerable interference from extremely distorted music on exactly the same frequency, around 0635 UT both September 17th and 18th. Finally, on the 19th, I made a point of checking various remote receivers. Where would it be heard and where not? Certainly not in Oklahoma. In Austin, Texas, Querétaro, Mexico, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, and McAllen, Texas, just across the border from Mexico. I was barely able to make out an ID mentioning 92.9 FM. That leads, according to listings, to XEERG in Ojo de Agua in Nuevo León, just outside Monterrey. In fact, it does simulcast XHERG on 92.9 FM. Trouble is, its format is listed as sports, but would not be unusual for a sports format to be playing music late at night. And according to the IRCA Mexican log, the same programming is on 690. So in the daytime on September 19th, when there's ground wave reception only, I checked that as well and was hearing it at McAllen, Texas. That signal is not distorted. And in fact, it is sports talk during the daytime. Anyhow, over a rather wide area, you may hear the extremely distorted signal on 800 until and unless they fix it, which is XEERG in Ojo de Agua, Nuevo León. Michel Frémy's radio magazine from Belgium had a report September 16th that Mongolia is concerned about lack of adequate reception of its broadcasting across the entire country since they're using long wave, and suggesting that it might be an improvement to replace that with digital, apparently meaning DRM. However, in the British GX Club, as Mark Haddam and Harold Kuhl point out, there might be a problem with that, such as the lack of DRM receivers. Finally, Mauno Ritola of WRTH says, I asked them, and they do not have plans to abandon longwave. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio 2261, a non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Many thanks for financial support from Gerald T. Pollard in Raleigh, North Carolina, who sends a generous seasonal check for autumn this time to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. Now that they have another transmitter, more anomalies at Radio New Zealand Pacific. Ricky Leong in Calgary, Alberta says, on September 13th, I was listening to the ABC One Talk program relayed by RNZ Pacific from 1227 on 9700, when I detected a second weak signal underneath. It was the same program, but delayed by slightly less than 1 second. Then when it switched to 7440 at 1259, the faint signal continued, and I could still hear it at 1305. The frequency switch occurred as announced, with a solid signal as expected on 7440 in parallel. But they are not quite in sync. 1330, when I switched from 9700 to 7440, whatever was just said can be heard again. That is, 7440 is slightly behind. And the next day, September 14th at 1206, Rodney Johnson in Minnesota was listening to 9700. All-night program. But there was a delayed track, about 500 milliseconds, or half a second, on the same frequency, at the same volume. And he notified Adrian Sainsbury of RNZ, who replied on September 15th, I am as surprised as anyone to hear this report. That evening we were running in parallel on 9700 and 7440. We will need to investigate if a transmitter is causing interference to the other. And Rodney says, by now, both 9700 and 7440 are back to normal. We continue to hear Station YHWH, the Antichrist Pirate, somewhere in southwestern USA just about every night on 7475, as early as 0258, and as late as 0423 on September 13th, 14th, 15th, and 17th, undermodulated. Rick Barton in Arizona also reports him on September 17th from TuneIn at 0245. Under T-Storm static, anemic modulation, and in fact, there was quite a period of dead air. Checking later at 0345, audio had improved, and he was rendering the Ten Commandments at 0350, faded out and gone sometime after 0400. I also continue to hear at least a carrier from the pirate once known as Hikari FM, or before that, Vostochnaya Zvezda, in Japanese and Russian, on 11514.9. September 13th at 1455. September 16th at 0414. And finally on September 17th at 0340, I finally had some modulation. Announcement sounded like it was in English between musical pieces. Some time ago, the operator gave away his location, at least that's what he said, as Choya Bay in Sonora. That's C-H-O-Y-A or double L-A. It's just west beyond Puerto Peñasco on a little peninsula into the Sea of Cortez. The 250-watt daytimer in Stillwater, Oklahoma, KSPI on 780, was on the air into the night, causing heavy interference to WBBM Chicago, September 14th at 0401, and still, when I checked, at 0648. Ruining WBBM here, but Stillwaterians totally blocked from hearing one of the few genuine all-news stations remaining. But the next night, WBBM again in the clear. Despite continuing daunting noise levels, either from storms or local lines, I continue to check what I can hear on long-wave or medium-wave beacon bands, and was pleased to hear DDP in San Juan, Puerto Rico once again, 391 kHz, September 15th at 0535. It helps that it's running 1 or 2 kilowatts, one of the few remaining, I think, in the Caribbean. Rick Barton in Arizona reports on 11545, a frequency often used by the Turkish jammer, September 7th at 1220, what sounded like the Russian buzzer, until it suddenly stopped at 1257. That would be the one normally heard on 4635. Has anyone else noticed this? And another anomaly, presumably from Russia, reported by Wolfgang Büschel via a remote in Japan. Surprise, surprise. Five-digit number station. Espionage read by male voice in Russian on 9321 at 0430 until switched off at 0432.53, September 18th in upper sideband only. I continue to hear most of the time extremely rapid chirping against Saudi Arabia's Yemen service on 11935, such as September 18th at 1806. The remote receiver in Holland could not lock onto it when tuned to 11935, but if I tuned to 11936, it displayed 11936.143. Supposedly, it's jamming from Iran. We try to hear the token English broadcast from Spain, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 22 to 22:30 UT on 17855 for North America, 17715 for South America, and 15520 for the Middle East, but they've been missing from their African frequency 15390. On Tuesdays, it's in Ladino instead, but I was still checking and found that 17855 had some strange pulsing about 17855.7 and was much weaker than the South American frequency. Something's not right at Noblejas, but back to normal by Wednesday the 18th. The NASA fly sheet Jerry Linneman in Waco reports on Radio Thailand's English broadcast at 02 UT September 13th on 15590. It's for Central and Eastern North America, but is a very poor signal. A bridge too far, he says, a long path to the targets, roughly 8 kilomiles to the upper Midwest and 9.5 kilomiles to South Florida. He says a better choice might be to target West and Central North America with the same array at 30 degrees, beaming on Seattle. The big cities on the West Coast are closer, and the path would work better for the frequency. But to him, in Texas, it's 8,800 miles. This week's anomalies at the Voice of Turkey for English at 22 to us on 11785. On September 15th, they tried to go on the air at 2201, but went off at 2202, never to return. That was Sunday, so we missed their mailbag letterbox. On September 18th, they failed to close down before 2300 and carried a few minutes of German. Some things always erroneous at Emmerlair. Liz Cameron refers us to a very interesting article in MIT Technology Review. Meet the radio-obsessed civilians shaping Ukraine's drone defense. His work may determine the future of Ukraine and wars far beyond it. Go to technologyreview.com and look for an article of September 12th, perhaps finding by searching on his first name, which is spelled S-E-R-H-I-I. There is a campaign in the UK to keep BBC Radio 4 alive on Longwave 198. Tony Pavick in BC replies on the British DX Club, I admire your campaign, but I will say this. BBC doesn't care what listeners and viewers think or want, and has demonstrated this repeatedly. Many years ago, they cut transmissions of the World Service to North America on shortwave. There was a similar campaign pleading for restoration. It was flatly ignored. Simon Hockenhull says, BBC is a very different beast today. Back in the 1970s, they were proud of their transmitting and engineering department, which they owned. I now have some letters from the BBC engineering department confirming this. One actually described the 1,500-meter or 200-kilohertz longwave service as the jewel in the crown. And Tony Rogers says there is a current registration with HFCC for a DRM broadcast from BBC from 1 September at 0559 to 0700 UT in English on 17815, 100 kilowatts from Oman. Atsuhiko Takezawa in Japan confirmed it September 19th as a test transmission for Kenya. There were several restarts trying different bit rates, and it finished at 0704. HFCC says it's from Oman, but DRM labeled it as Wolverton. A report from Current.org in September via Mike Terry. New York Public Radio cuts 26 positions and ends Notes from America. We will cut back on podcasts and live events. The CEO announced the station will also end production of Notes from America, which it began distributing nationally 2 years ago. Its last broadcast will be December 29th. This is about WNYC. The station will stop producing seasonal podcasts for WQXR, its classical music service. NYPR will increase its focus on local news and reimagine its membership model. There's so much more to this story and others I don't have time for. You really need to read the whole thing, as linked or appearing in the World of Radio IO Group. And some more medium wave news. WAEC 860 in Atlanta goes dark. Lou Johnson, KF4RCA, says it was the first black O&O in the Atlanta market. The owner sold the land out from under them. Greg Hardison replies, I believe as the former WERD 860, it was actually the first black-owned station in the country, not just in Atlanta. Rick Barton in Arizona has a mystery on 1260. September 12th at 1330 UT, non-stop Taylor Swift. Joe in Hemet, California replies on ABDX, it's KMZT. That, of course, as the name implies, was once classical music, as in Mozart. Harry says, according to Wikipedia, the station is studying with all Taylor Swift. In October, they will change to KKGO and on FM with modern country music, while the AM version will play classics from the 90s and later. K. Mozart was licensed to Beverly Hills. From Inside Radio, September 7th, via the Arctic Radio Club, about 1560. WFME New York, Family Radio. It's been off the air since March, as the religious broadcaster has issues to resolve about its tower site and a nearby school building. But it says it's reached a deal to relocate it to the tower site of WPAT 930 and WNSW 1430 in Clifton, New Jersey. It will go back on the air with 10,000 watts day and night, if approved. About the dismal outlook for AM radio, some food for thought from Scott Feibusch on the IRCA list. As someone who spends a lot of time with small station owners as a broker, engineer, and consultant, the reality in the U.S. is this. Probably 90% of AM stations around the country right now are running with no full-time engineer. Probably 75 to 80% around the country right now are operating at a net loss. As more AMs go dark for good, not just in the U.S., but in Canada and Mexico, that were protected by U.S. facilities, there are a growing number of channels where, in a real-world sense, it doesn't matter to anyone anymore whether the remaining stations on those channels go to night facilities or not. With CHML gone from 900, who's really in a position to complain if WURD or WJWL are running day power after dark? The same now for 1560 in the East. For the thousands of AMs that are now alive only as zombie signals to support FM translators, most owners are only going to do the bare minimum to keep the AM on the air. Do I expect anyone on this list to like that situation? Of course not. I'd rather work on improving stations instead of helping them drop towers and reduce power. But that's where we are these days. As DXers, we're in the unusual position of having a hobby that's dependent on a business that we do not control, and where we're not really the target audience. Scott says, I'm just the messenger. From AgriMarketing.com via Mike Terry, the National Association of Farm Broadcasting reports efforts to keep AM radio in the dashboards of U.S. vehicles have taken a step forward in the House. The Energy and Commerce Committee voted 45-2 to send the proposed AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to the full House for a vote. But via Bill Telford, here's another threat to AM reception in cars from Purdue University, building the first segment in the U.S. of a highway that can charge electric vehicles, big and small, as they drive. A test bed in Indiana is under construction. From spaceweather.com via Mike Terry, the sun saw its most active month for over two decades, with an August average of 215 sunspots. The first time that average sunspot number has exceeded 200 since September 2001. Propagation outlook from SWPC issued September 16th. ANK indices peaking at 25 and 5 September 26th and 27th, 20 and 4 on October 11th and 12th. Solar flux rising from 165 September 21st to 240 September 29th to October 2nd. Down to 172 by October 11th. Remember to check our website for much more info, worldofradio.com. With many thanks to all our contributors and stations, inviting you to hear me again next week, Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2261 with a standard disclaimer.